Chapter 2. Saved by the Church. From birth to 8 years of age, Delhi. In a busy and noisy part of Delhi called Bahargunj, there is a red building with a large white cross on it. It is the Church of Saint Mary, and that is where the story of my life started 18 years ago, on a cold winter night in December. I was found outside the church in a bin that the nuns had put out for old clothes. I do not know who left me there, or why. The nuns of St. Mary's ran an orphanage, so I stayed at the church together with a number of other orphan babies. All the other babies were adopted and taken away one by one to new homes, but no one ever wanted to adopt me. I do not know why. Perhaps I was too ugly, or perhaps my skin was too dark, so I stayed at the orphanage for 2 years. During that time, I never had a name. The nuns just called me Baby, the baby that no one wanted. I was finally given a home by Mrs. Philomena Thomas and her husband, Dominic Thomas. They were from Nagarkoil in Tamil Nadu, but they now lived in Delhi. Mrs. Thomas worked as a cleaner at St. Joseph's Church, and her husband worked as the gardener. They were in their 40s and did not have any children of their own. Their priest, Father Timothy Francis, suggested adopting a child. He said that a child might fill the hole in their lives. When she came to the orphanage, Mrs. Philomena Thomas was the first person to show interest in me. In fact, she chose me that day because my skin was dark, just like hers. It took 2 months for the Thomases to complete the papers to adopt me. But then, within just 3 days of arriving in their home, my time with them was finished. Mr. Thomas discovered that the hole in his wife's life had already been filled. Not by me, but by another man. Mrs. Philomena Thomas immediately left her husband and a newly adopted baby and ran away with her new lover. She was never seen again. Mr. Thomas was very angry. He took me to Father Timothy's house and said, "Father, you made me adopt this boy, so you can decide what to do with him." And, before Father Timothy could say a word in reply, Dominic Thomas set off to chase his wife. Father Timothy was a good man, and I respected him. He gave me food, a place to sleep, and a name, Joseph Michael Thomas. But 7 days later, two men came to meet Father Timothy. "We are from the All Religions Together group," said the first man. "I am Mr. Jagdish Sharma, and I am Hindu. And this is Mr. Inayat Hidayatullah. He is Muslim. We have heard that you have given a home to an orphan boy." "Yes, his new parents disappeared," said Father Timothy. "What name have you given him?" asked the man. "Joseph Michael Thomas." "That's a Christian name, isn't it? How do you know that he was born to Christian parents?" asked Mr. Sharma.
I don't. But what's wrong with Joseph Michael Thomas?"
"People in this part of India get very angry when anyone tries to make a person change their religion," replied Mr. Sharma. "Churches have been burned down, and priests have been attacked."
"But I haven't tried to change anyone's religion," said Father Timothy.
"We believe you, but they are saying in the streets that you are making a Hindu boy become Christian."
"But how do you know he is Hindu?"
Listen. Whether he is or not won't matter to the angry people who are planning to attack your church tomorrow. We want to stop that happening. Why don't you give him a Hindu name? You could name him Ram, after one of the Hindu gods, said Mr. Sharma. Mr. Hidayatullah then spoke for the first time. Excuse me, but how do we know the boy wasn't born to Muslim parents? Why can't he be called Muhammad? Mr. Sharma and Mr. Hidayatullah discussed the names Ram and Muhammad for more than 30 minutes without coming to a decision. Finally, Father Timothy gave up. If I have to change his name to stop people being angry, then I'll do it. Shall I call him Ram Muhammad Thomas? Then everyone will be happy. And that's how I got my name. For the next 6 years, Father Timothy became my father, mother, teacher, and priest. If there has been anything near happiness in my life, it was in the time I spent with him. Father Timothy looked after me well. I learned about Christianity, of course, but Father Timothy taught me about other religions too. He came from York, in the north of England, and so it was from him that I learned to read and speak English. The church itself was an old building, built in 1878, with beautiful coloured glass windows and a very high wooden roof. At the far end of the church was a huge cross with the statue of Jesus Christ and the letters INRI written above it. I used to love to sit and stare at that statue and watch the coloured light shining on it through the windows. For the first few years, I believed that Father Timothy was my real father. But as I grew older, I realised that all the people at church called him father too. I was also confused because he was white and I was not. So one day I asked him, and he told me the truth as gently as he could. He explained that I was an orphan child and had been left by my mother in a bin full of clothes at St. Mary's Orphanage. It was then, for the first time, that I understood the difference between father and father. That night I cried, and I felt a new kind of pain. Then, one morning, I woke up and Father Timothy was not in the house, so I went across to the church to look for him. As soon as I entered, I knew something was wrong. I walked to the front of the church, and there on the floor, just below the statue of Jesus Christ, was Father Timothy. Perhaps he had come to pray, to speak quietly to God. But now he was lying on his side on the cold, hard floor. His eyes were fixed open, and his skin was grey. I do not know how long I sat next to the body, staring up at the statue of Jesus on the cross and crying. I cried for hours, even after they came and took the body away under a white sheet. That was the day I truly became an orphan. Father Timothy had been my father, just as he had been father to all the people who came to his church. Smita looked sad when I finished telling her about Father Timothy. So, what happened to you after Father Timothy died? She asks me. I was sent to a special home for boys in Delhi. Smita breathes deeply and says, Now, tell me about question two. And she moves forward in her seat to play the recording of the quiz show. We are still having a break from recording in the studio. Prem Kumar moves closer to me and whispers, Let me tell you what the next question is going to be. I'll ask you what FBI stands for. You've heard of the FBI, haven't you?
No, I haven't, I say. He shakes his head.
Oh, look, we want you to win a bit more money.
I can change the question.
Tell me quickly, are there any other letters like that that you know the meaning of?
I think for a while before replying. I know what INRI means. It's what's written on the top of a Christian cross, I tell him.
Oh, okay. I'll see what I can do.
A few minutes later, the loud music starts up again, and the studio sign changes to silence.
So, Mr. Thomas, here comes question two for 2,000 rupees. What are the letters that are normally written on the top of a Christian cross? Is it A, I-R-N-I, B, I-N-R-I, C, R-I-N-I, or D, N-I-R-I?
Music plays for a short time, and then I say, the answer is B, I-N-R-I.
Are you sure?
Yes. The studio is filled with the sound of drums. The right answer appears on the screen.
That's correct! You have just won 2,000 rupees!
Thank you, I say.